Lord, make quiet our hearts that we may listen to your still small voice, so that in hearing your word we may respond in fervent faith. As Jesus led disciples of old, so lead us, your children, today. We ask it in his name. Amen. You may be seated. Oh boy, here we go again with John's Gospel. And you know how I feel about pondering John. He is often so much harder to get our arms around than the storytellers of the other three synoptic Gospels. And having spent a week at a preaching conference, shouldn't this be a brilliant sermon with moments of profound insight? And Jesus instead delivers those clear words for me to preach on. Now they know that everything you have given them is from you, for the words that you gave to me I have given to them, and they have received them and know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. Little confusing. But if we step back just a little, this passage begins as a prayer. After Jesus had spoken these words, he looked up to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come." I used to belong to a small group of women who would gather once a week for Bible study together. The amazing thing was one was from a non-denominational church with evangelical underpinnings, and the other two were good old Southern Baptist women. And here I am, the Episcopalian, and at that time in discernment for ministry. Yet despite our differences, we gathered at that kitchen table for more than a year. We met together at the home of one of the women who had several children and was at the time homeschooling and managing a recently adopted child who was proving to be a bit difficult to manage. We met during nap time, and we started our sessions with a prayer usually led by one of the other women, and we lifted up the things that happened in our lives at the time. I found an old notebook recently, and it described in brief notes the things we were praying for at that time. We prayed for our spouses and our children, and if someone needed prayer, we prayed for them. We then did our Bible study, and usually we were running behind schedule, so I was often asked to pray. They knew, as a good Episcopalian, my prayer would have the gift of brevity. Sort of like the other prayer Jesus teaches us in Scripture, the Lord's Prayer. But not today's gospel. It is the very long prayer of Jesus. Today's gospel is a section in the middle of Jesus' long version prayer, for if you look before and after in the text, it's clear Jesus is praying to his Father, God. He's recapping his ministry, not in terms of the details of his specific work, but the broad brushstrokes of his presence on earth and the meaning to each one of us. Jesus is praying for us. He's asking that his Holy Father protect us. Jesus knows it'll be hard to be his followers. Jesus knows it is hard to be a Christian in today's secular world. Jesus knows that as Christians, we will be different than others. And to follow Jesus requires us to realize we are different. David Luce says, "This world is captive to a spirit alien to God's spirit. It is animated by a sense of scarcity instead of abundance, fear instead of courage, and selfishness instead of sacrificial love." Sadly, he was correct. We are still too much the animals of evolutionary forces which have shaped us, and far too little the human beings who transcend brute evolutionary instinct for survival at all costs. Again, Luce lays out Jesus' humanity, which demonstrates transcendence beyond survival at all cost. Jesus, the one who came to bring abundant life, does not run away in the face of danger and lays down his life for the sheep. Jesus offers an alternative spirit and reality. This is the reason the world, cosmos, the Greek, John's word of choice for the spirit and power that is hostile to God's good intention to love and redeem all, hates Jesus and will hate those who follow him. So it now makes some sense that Jesus would be praying for us. Recall, the Son of God knew it would be hard to be Christian. We're asked to be more human and in some cases invite the world to hate us. Being Christian, Jesus knew, was not going to be easy. So for us today, we realize those many centuries ago, the writer of John's Gospel knew Jesus would pray for his followers. We are different as Christians, and with difference there can be unpopularity, even alienation. I remember the words my grandmother taught us: polite people don't talk about politics, religion, or deeply personal matters at the dinner table. It's funny, but we still seem to practice that rule as Episcopalians. Some even refer to us as the frozen chosen, because we so rarely profess our faith to those outside our walls, and some days even within our walls. Perhaps we should be a little braver and venture out of our comfort zone and go places we might never go. Right here at St. Bartholomew's, women and men drive into neighborhoods with meals on wheels to places they might never otherwise go. That's courage. Right here at St. Bartholomew's, we gather for sharing the faith dinner with people from all races and socioeconomic strata. That is practicing difference as Jesus knew we would as his followers. To be a disciple is to practice this difference. It's to become more human, and it's to invite the world to potentially hate us. No wonder in writing chapter 17 that John believed that Jesus would pray for his disciples and for us. So our call is to seek the holy, to realize everything and everyone is holy. Pete Mayer has a song called "Everything is Holy Now." The lyrics are as follows. When I was a boy, each week on Sunday, we would go to church and pay attention to the priest. He or she would read the holy word and consecrate the holy bread, and everyone would kneel and bow. Today, the only difference is everything is holy now. Everything, everything, everything is holy now. Mayer gets it. He sees the enchantment with reality, which we Christians call relationship with God. He has understood that God goes beyond church and beyond church language. Everything is holy now and always has been. God saw everything God had made, and it was very good. So as we begin our week together, consider Jesus is praying for you and for me. Jesus is lifting us up in prayer that our lives may be as God intended them to be. Jesus is bringing holiness to everything in your life. Honor him. Hold him in your heart. And more than anything, seek the holy in your life and share the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen.